Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Welcome back to our final Open House for 2012 from Notes Live Newtown. One of the great sporting honours in the world is to represent your country as part of an Olympic team. Our next guests are two people who've had that privilege of representing Australia at the Olympic Games. Elka Whalen, as a swimmer, competed in two Olympics, scored a silver medal, and she's a World Championship gold medalist and world record holder. Her husband, Thomas, as a water polo player, represented Australia at four consecutive Olympic Games, including London 2012. Both have faced the highs and lows of competitive sporting careers and have emerged not only married with two beautiful kids, but they've also come out with a strengthened Christian faith. It's an absolute pleasure to say, please welcome Elka and Thomas Whalen to Open House. It is such a treat to meet you over the last 30 seconds.
Thanks for having us. What a crowd, amazing. And how good was Tonga before?
I know.
That music, I would love, put the sport aside, I'd love to be able to come up and just schmooze like that. Just put a voice together and everyone's just, that'd be awesome.
I'm with you. You want to set up a group?
No, absolutely.
Maybe not.
Don't think we'd be any good, but hey.
That's right. I want to start by asking a bit about your careers. Elka, could we start with you?
Sure.
Freestyler, 200, 400 and 800 metre events. Take me back. At what point in your life did it really click that you thought, I actually really love this, I need to do it?
I think it all started when I was really 4 years of age and I went down and I swam. I wanted to show the coach that I wanted to get into swimming. And for me, as I started off swimming and as it progressed, as I got older, I feel in life there's something that everybody does that you just know that you're gifted at, or something that you can just do and you don't even need to think about. And for me, that was every time I dived into the water, there was just a moment of silence and peace, and I just loved swimming, and I just knew that it was something that was really intrinsic and special to me and something that I really wanted to pursue.
I've been for 22 years a plodding lapper, right? Swimming lapper. And I've always, when I've seen the squads, I've always thought these kids are always happy, actually. And you don't always see it in lots of kids' sport. But the kids at the pool always seem happy.
It is, and I think especially living in this amazing country of ours in Australia, it's so important that we all learn how to swim because we're all so close to water. So, you know, just the basics of that is so important. But, you know, you still get to sing underneath the water sometimes and you get to think of all these different things. And so many people ask, isn't it boring swimming on that black line? And I tell them, well, technically, your head position, you shouldn't really be looking at the black line. And I used to think of so many different things when I swam. It was just my time and my moment, you know, in all those hours of training.
I'm going to take that tip into the pool tomorrow.
Great.
Can you tell me how you swim under? I think that's in your mind, I take it.
No, sometimes if I was angry or I needed to let off steam, you know, if you're in the water, you can try it next time. Scream as loud as you can underwater and nobody can hear you, and I think that's fantastic.
I'm going to take that suggestion into the pool tomorrow as well. So you need more than talent, okay? You've got inherent talent, but also there's just sheer hard work. Talk to us about how hard a work it is to become an Olympic swimmer.
Look, it's there's a lot of hard work, but it doesn't seem that at the time because you're so determined and you're so motivated, not only just swimming but any sport, to be the best that you can do. And, you know, Lee, I never started out swimming thinking, you know, I want to be the best and I want to make lots of money and I want this to change my life. I just started swimming purely because I loved it and I had a passion for it. And then I just got to a point where I loved it so much that I thought, you know, what's my next step? And so when I heard that Sydney was hosting the 2000 Olympics, I just knew that was my goal and that was my aim, and I did everything possible to make it happen.
And no hesitation on the way through?
No, not at all. Yeah. From the moment I found out, when I made that decision at, you know, 17, I had 9 months and I woke up every day, I stuck a piece of paper on my wall and it said, Elka Graham, every day in every way, you're becoming a better athlete, and because of this, you're becoming a better person. And I didn't miss one single training session in those 9 months. So I knew that when I got up in those blocks that I had absolutely nothing to lose. I was either going to be good enough to make it or I wasn't.
Are you a rather determined person?
I'm competitive. Ask my husband.
Yes, she is.
I can imagine that, actually. Before we get to Thomas, just the first moment on the first block at the Olympics.
It was incredible. We actually walked out just after the men had won the 4x100 meter freestyle relay, and they'd smashed the Americans like guitars, and yes. the crowd was going crazy and wild. And to walk out and to see everybody cheering and chanting was just an incredible feeling, knowing that you're representing your country. Yeah. You know, that's just a great feeling, and that, you know, I'm doing the honor for God as well, saying thank you for giving me this gift and talent, and just wanting to get in there and just tear it up.
Great stuff. Thomas, you chose water polo. As I said, four Olympic Games. I'm in awe. Thank Why you. Water polo?
Well, unlike Elka, I actually had a bit of a battle with that black line, and I didn't enjoy it as much. And
it does get a bit boring.
It does get a bit boring to me. So maybe my head positioning was wrong. I finally found out the reason.
Yeah. Now.
But yeah, I was a swimmer to begin with. I was in nippers. I was involved in rugby and cricket, in a lot of sports. And water polo came up as an option. My brother went down to the club and we started playing, and I fell in love with this sport because it encapsulated so much in terms of swimming, endurance, physical, wrestling, shooting, scoring goals, teamwork. And my first tour, I remember going to Canberra, and I'm thinking, oh, this is amazing. I can tour around Australia and around the world. And then not long after, I was in Hungary and Croatia and these amazing countries, and I just fell in love with not just the sport, but what it encapsulated.
I'm glad you said wrestling, because I know it gets very rough in those pools, doesn't it?
It certainly does. What you see is what you get. You probably don't see a lot of what we get.
Underneath, yes.
That's exactly right. Ouch. So when it comes to an Olympic Games or a World Championships or those really big games, it's basically whatever you can get away with goes, and the referees aren't underwater refereeing you, and sometimes it... The referee can only determine it by the pitch of your squeal.
And a test of Christian character, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you went on to lead the Australian team as captain.
Yeah.
What did you learn about leadership doing that?
I learned a lot about leadership. I realised over the years that you may have one idea or what you believe leadership to be, but it takes so long. It takes a really conscious effort to study leadership, to be a person that is not only living your life through examples, through be it the training, be it turning up every day, but you have to be there for the juniors, you have to be there for the seniors, you have to be a support for the coach. You really have to take on a responsibility and live and breathe how you want the culture in your team to succeed. And so throughout my whole career, I really grappled with that, and I think I was the most comfortable with that in London 2012, and I was the proudest because I think I really, even though I wasn't the captain at that point, I really took it upon myself to give everything to the team in terms of the leadership, and we had great success because of it.
I'm sure that's going to translate into many other arenas of life as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think, one of the great things about sport and why we all love sport is I think sport is a metaphor for life. You go through struggles, you go through ups, you go through downs. You need discipline. You need to lead. You need to lead by example. But that's the same in everything in life, in your occupation, when you go to work, in your relationships. And that's probably why we love sport so much, because it's there in front of you on the field and you can see those emotions going on every day.
Can I ask you each... for one particular highlight and one particular challenging time. Elka, highlight? And I think a lot of people know your challenging time.
Sure, yeah. But it's not actually going to be what you think. Okay. Probably my highlight would be making the Olympic team. For me, I kind of went from no team, no real platform, no talent development, kind of 17, decided to do school over 2 years, and then boom, the first team I make is the Olympic Games, and then life just changed. So just the highlight, you know, being picked in the Australian Olympic team for 2000 would be my highlight of my career. Probably my down point would be... I think a lot of races sometimes it just didn't pan out the way that you wanted it to go. You know, going back to those hotel rooms at 2 or 3 in the morning after being drug tested and going to media conferences, and all I want to do is ring my parents, and sometimes they're asleep, and I'd come in and think, why didn't that race go well? And you have to sit down and you cry. You really cry. And the hardest thing, to answer your question, is to get up that next morning and show that your body language is like that of a champion and just get up and go, it's a new day, it's a new beginning, and you have to forget about what happened the day before. I think that's the biggest hurdle as most athletes, if they haven't had a good race, to get up the next day and turn it around.
Thomas, how about you?
Yeah, probably one of the highlights was, especially in London 2012, being able to realise how special it was to be there. I probably took for granted that I was at some of the other Olympics because I was there for talent. I just thought I was supposed to be there almost because I was a great player in this. But it was a bit more of a struggle to get to these ones because you are sacrificing time with your family. And I have a beautiful family. And to take time away from them when I was overseas with our little one-year-old Edison and two-and-a-half-year-old Nevada, that was tough. And so when I stood there in front of 5,000 people, I could see Elker up there with little Edison. Unfortunately, Nevada had to stay at home, but it was probably my proudest moment because of sacrificing to get there. Another highlight also was dancing to Barry White in the change rooms before the games to try and get the boys a little bit pumped up.
Do we have video of this?
Unfortunately, what goes on in the change room stays there. But that will certainly stick in my memory. Doing something different to when you're in the change room before a game, guys are really nervous and you become really introverted and focused on yourself, and you've got to turn it around to the team. So my concept was getting Barry White on and dancing around like no one was watching.
It probably answers my next question, and I'll get back to you on that. I want, because you're both Aussies and you're both sports people, one funny moment in your career. Another one I'll give Thomas.
Sure. Okay. This is a funny, but it's a real moment. So I often say, even though I came home with a silver from the Olympics, my gold actually was Thomas, because it was Athens 2004 in the computer room. We've got 10,000 athletes in Olympic Village, and about 504 Australian athletes were in the computer room. There was one spare spot, and it happened to be Thomas. And I sat down next to him, and I totally think that's a God thing, because I left Athens without a medal, but I ended up with a husband. So.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you at home, you should see the beam on Thomas's face. A funny moment, Thomas?
Probably a funny moment. There's so many moments apart from dancing to Barry White, which the boys thought was quite funny. A lot of moments with AJ Roach, Aiden Roach, Big Blocker Roach's son. He's a very, very funny guy. We were training against the Greeks in Greece just before the London 2012 Olympics, and it can get quite heated. There's a lot of testosterone in there, and guys grappling with each other. Everyone's quite tired. And it almost came to an all-in brawl at one stage, and I'll put my hand up and take a bit of responsibility for it. We can get quite aggressive. A lot of the boys kind of came in, and there was a bit of, you know, chest going up. I got a boom whack across the head. Afterwards, I said, you know, boys, I was wondering what was going on. AJ said to me, he goes, no, mate, I was just on the sideline laughing. I saw you get hit, and then I walked in. So I was just enjoying it a bit. And I thought that was, even though I got a blow to the head, I thought it was one of the funniest moments, the fact that AJ was sitting on the sideline watching me getting beaten up and having a bit of a laugh. So.
Good on you, AJ. Thanks for all your support.
Thanks for the support, AJ.
So you've retired now.
Yes,
Olympics.
I have retired.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
This is just the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I was always aspiring for a gold medal, didn't come back with a gold medal, and there's always that sense of, gee, I wish I did. But then I've realised as well, there's a beautiful passage in Corinthians that athletes aspire for a gold medal, which it will tarnish and fade and doesn't last forever, but the gold medal is so much more than that, and I've come to realise that through family, through relationships, and through the big man above.
I wanted to talk with you each about the big man above and your journey through Christian faith. Elko, there was one defining moment for you where you went in search of God.
Yeah, I mean, I went to church kind of my whole life, Sunday school with my parents, and I think around 15 or 14, a lot of people do, you kind of drift away a bit, and I did. I always felt I had God in my heart, but I just felt that I just didn't have time to go to church, and it was around about 21, 22 years of age that I came back to Christ. I ran into a friend that I was school captain with, and he was a very Christian man, and he turned the other way a little bit as well, and he got into an incident where someone was closing up the shop, and they held a gun to his head. And when I ran into him, he said to me, Elke, you know, the last thought that went through my head was, would God be proud of the way I lived my life? And his life, thankfully, was spared. And it was through him and meeting with him again, I just felt this yearning. Even sometimes when I'd be up on the blocks, I would just say, oh, God, please be with me. And I would always feel in my heart, well, I am with you. You know, what are you doing to seek me out? And so I started going back to church around about 21 or 22. And I've been now a devoted Christian, and God is the center of our marriage, of our life, of our children's life for, you know, 8 years now, 9 years. And, you know, we go to a fantastic church. and God has just molded me into this person that I'm really content and happy with. And I know that I wouldn't have met Thomas if it wasn't for Christ either.
That was quite a moment. Tell me about the perspective it gives you on life, on swimming competition.
God showed me that I was more than just a swimming pool. And I'd love to tell all athletes that in any forum of sport, that you are bigger than just a sport. God has so much planned for your life, and that there is a special gift and talent that we all have. And I knew that every day I wake up and I'm excited. I feel as though when someone asks me the reason for success, I feel as though I can answer with, I was born excited. I wake up and I think, what am I going to do today? I'm so excited. I'm a morning person. I love jumping out of bed. And what God has taught me, and the Bible and the Christian faith, is that He loves us no matter what. Is that unconditional love, and 24/7, you know, He is there to talk to and there to be a part of your life. And I just want, I want everybody to experience that moment of the Holy Spirit coming on them and just showing how much your life can change and what a blessing it is. I feel so blessed, and our family feels so favored, and I love walking with God.
What a wonderful answer. Yeah. Thomas, good stuff. Thomas, I'm hoping for your sake that you're also a morning person with all this jumping out of bed stuff.
You know,
I wish I was, and I hear about it every morning.
Get out of bed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
How about you? What was your journey to Christian faith?
I went to a Presbyterian school, and it was probably a more traditional upbringing of Christianity. And I did kind of probably fall out of touch with God after school. When I met Elka, we had a big night out, I think, one night, and I kind of felt pretty bad. The next morning, she goes, "All right, get in the car. We're going to church." And I said, "Oh, okay, we'll go to church." And she and so we went along to church, and there's the rock band and the music and all that playing, and it's very overwhelming. And there's people kind of cheering and all of this kind of stuff, and then we go to pray, and we're all praying, and Elka's like looked across and saw me praying. She goes, "Oh, I'm so proud in his first session." And it was actually such a big night out the night before that I was like,
welcome to church.
So welcome to church. But since then, look, I've really enjoyed and embraced what Elka has introduced me to, or reintroduced me to. And that is, it's a journey, and it gives me a huge amount of accountability, but also an amount of contentment. That, as I said before, it's not a gold medal that I need anymore. It's more of how I live my life and the example that I want to lead. And how I want to bring my children up and my family up, and to have that relationship with God, you know, means so much more than it did 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
How does it intersect with leadership? The question of leadership.
I think it transcends, or it gives you a huge help with leadership, because the way you lead your life is an example for others. So there's so many things from the Bible that it teaches you. It's almost a manual there for you. And if you can put that into your team, put that into those around you, put that into those children who look up to you. I had a Scott speech day yesterday that I was invited back to, and I just felt so blessed that it was bestowed upon me to be able to try and inspire these kids, to try and teach them a bit of purpose through what I've gone through and leadership. And I even had them up and dancing to some crazy songs for
Barry White.
Actually, you got it right. It was Barry White. Back to Barry White. But they had a great time, and I think they really took it on. It meant so much that they came up and said, you know, thank you so much for those words. And I think it got through to them.
Great stuff. You got a new business, Elka. You're doing media. What's in the future for you two?
More babies.
Oh. I hope he knows about this.
Yeah. No, I'm thoroughly enjoying media. You know, I was just thinking about what you said. I think the greatest thing about being a Christian is knowing your purpose, knowing who you are and where you're going, and that's really important. Coming up for us, well, we've got Christmas coming up. I'm loving working in the media. Something exciting might be happening next year, which is really good. And as I said, more babies.
Good stuff.
Well,
Thomas?
I've got some work to do.
Well, we'll let you go now. So what's in the future for you, mate?
Yeah, look, I've started a company with a few friends. It's called Aussie Oi. We actually have, it all is based around Aussie, 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 Oi, Oi, Oi. We have that over a lot of our apparel. Love it or loathe it, it's here to stay.
Sorry, yeah.
So I basically built up a business because I love sport. I love giving back. And we've had that debate in Australia about elite athletes and the lack of funding, or too much funding in some circumstances. circumstances, but I've created a model that there's an athlete fund involved in that. 10% of the proceeds of our apparel goes towards this athlete fund. And towards athletes, elite athletes that don't necessarily get the funding that they need to succeed. So that's very exciting for me, and I also put on water polo events to try and promote my beautiful sport that isn't necessarily on TV all the time. So come January, Water Polo by the Sea, Bondi Icebergs, January 4, get down there.
Good stuff. Wish you well with it. So what's Christmas like at the Whalen household?
It's beautiful and fun. We just put our Christmas tree up the other week, didn't we? With our little two-year-old Nevada. She got excited to check it was still down the next morning. The Christmas tree was still down there. So we'll we like to have it really nice and quiet, actually. Just the four of us we'll have for Christmas Day. And then we will probably see my side of the family, and then we'll go see Thomas's side of the family.
Yeah, one of the most beautiful things about this Christmas season every single year is it gives you an excuse to catch up with people that you've been saying for so long, oh yeah, we'll catch up, and you never get around to it. And sometimes December can be overwhelming because you seem like you're going to every Christmas party and this and that, but if you really embrace it, it's a beautiful time to catch up with people, to see their families growing, to give, to realize how blessed you are. So I love Christmas, and we love it as a family to really get out there and
it's great having young children and telling them what Christmas is about. We haven't necessarily introduced Nevada about presents. We've told her what Christmas is about, whose birthday it is, and you know there are plenty of places in shopping centers where you can go and pick up hampers or Christmas tags and bless those people who might not have a brightening Christmas and just try to make their day just a little bit more special.
Sounds like a wonderful few weeks ahead.
It is.
I'm so glad you've joined us tonight. It's such a treat meeting you. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And Elka Whalen. From Notes Live in Newtown across Australia, this is Open House.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.